Blog That's Talk right, Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just like every other media show, where we're going to talk about stuff that really, really makes the people are on the carpet doing all kinds of stuff on the Soap Awards. That's right. Did anyone else know that Peter Andre's secret girlfriend is a 19-year-old backing dancer? That's right. That's amazing stuff. Who would have thunk it? This is every other news show. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, when you need the news that is important to the world, you come here first. Oh, Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston both carry tote bags that are very similar. That just happened. This is breaking news. Wait. They both have the same handbags? That's right. That's not this show. This is the Jack Hatfield Show. We're about to go.
Crazy, mad, insane world. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Program
listening live, the hundreds of millions of thousands of you across this galaxy, not just the fruited plain, but galaxy, because I know for a fact that my words are beamed out into the essence of the world, onto some satellite, and I'm sure some of the words miss the satellite and keep going. And they flow through space on and on and on and on and finally hit somebody and they go, what? That was intelligent. That's right. You're here at the Jack Hatfield Show. This is amazing stuff that we're going to talk about today. Now, I am trying to come up with some, because some people say, you know what? I'm going to listen to your show and you don't talk enough about, you know, stuff other people are talking about. You don't talk about, you know, Dancing with the Stars. How come you don't talk about that? Or you don't talk about a TV show? You know, you don't talk about, the latest, Lady Gaga episode. You know, you don't talk about this stuff, so I'm having a hard time listening. Well, to those people, I say exactly my point. There is enough of that. You can get that anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Hit random or seek on your radio, and the next words will probably be either, well, the next thing that will happen will either be music or some inane idiot talking about Dancing with the Stars. And we are not like that. Now, yes, I know all about Dancing with the Stars. I know there's some controversy. I even know there was almost a dress malfunction. But we're, again, not going to talk about that. If I were going to talk about music, it would be a lot about Frank Sinatra or Prince, the people that are highlighted in my intro, along with Cowboy Mal. Going through them all. Hang on. Doobie doo, da da da, da da boom. There's one. There's another one. Oh, Return of the Mac. That's the main. That's the first one with the piano. And there's another one. Oh, I can't remember. I know. I hear it, you know, 50 times a week, but you know, it's just one of those things that flow through and you kind of miss it. Now, I had a lot of feedback from my hour-long rant on the Jobsville. To the Dancing with the Stars news, be lied to, which then they would suddenly believe, because none of it is fact. All the stuff that's happening in the news media about the Jobs Bill, blah. Now, when I was talking about it last week, actually it was 2 weeks ago, sorry, we did miss last week, so sorry about that. Unfortunately, we have not round up enough responsible co-hosts to take our spots on the days and weeks in which we are unable to make the show happen. And for that, we just have to go with listening to last week's show or the previous week's show, which is not a problem because every show is fantastic. So whichever one you're getting, that is a fantastic one. So anyway, when we were talking, I'm just going to get this political stuff out of the way right off the bat. That's what's going to happen. And then we'll go on to something, you know, a lot more fun, at least. Or at least a lot more, you know, more truth. I think I'm going to go pretty big on the health today. I think I do want to do that. And then the second hour of the show, we're going to talk about the general malaise that's going on in this country, in this planet today, that I've got to help you, help everybody, help you understand how to get yourself over it, and then help you to help someone else get over it. So that is the second hour. That's a big thing. Because I have always said, and I say it all the time, when you're laying on your deathbed, I've never heard anyone say, you know what, I'm so glad I worked so much and didn't see my family. Yep. Or, you know, I'm so glad that all right, well, live people understand we just had a little bit of snafu, but those on a recording understand that you didn't miss anything because we blurt out all those other issues and snafus. So it's not important for you to worry about it at this moment. All right, so where were we? Oh, yes, we were talking about the jobs bill. I wonder why this is all of a sudden the reason we're having snafus. Oh, maybe. Ha, ha, ha. That would be funny. I mean, not funny. That would be more horrendous than I can imagine. Anyway, back to the lie. I mean, Jobsville. Sorry. All right. So, when I was talking about the Jobs Bill 2 weeks ago, I want you to understand that it was not even introduced to Congress yet. That's right. Your president was out there saying, must pass this bill today, must pass this bill today, when it was absolutely, physically impossible to vote on the bill at all. Because it didn't exist in Congress. That's right. Didn't exist. So, the jobs plan is now since then, okay, been introduced to both the Senate and House. They contain the same language. Here's the deal. No one, no Democrat, is co-sponsoring the bill. Normally, when a bill is so touted to be so awesome, you immediately have a senator of some sort co-sponsor the bill, meaning, I love this bill so much, I want my name attached to it. But what has occurred is that at the request of the White House, they have asked that no one co-sponsored the bill. So no one can tag their name to it. But this was done, again, at the request of the White House. And they did that, and I quote, here's the reason, members have not been asked to co-sponsor the bill. Instead, members have asked that the GOP leadership bring it up so we can address the need for job creation in this country. We weren't chasing co-sponsors. So in an effort to show an excuse right off the bat of why no one would co-sponsor the bill, the White House press comes out and says, hey, we didn't want them to co-sponsor it. Now that little bit is crucial. That little bit is crucial. Okay. Now, could it be that no one wanted to co-sponsor it and so we had to make up something to say that why no one co-sponsored it? Maybe. Um, Could it be that so far the jobs have been found to cost, any job that was created in this bill, remember I showed you the plan for the wireless control or the brand new emergency center. I saw, I spoke to you about this jobs bill on how it was an increase in taxes permanently and a large increase in fees. Tons and tons and tons of problems all the way around. But the Harvard economists estimated that this White House job plan would create maybe a job or two. Because have to be set up by somebody, and the buildings have to be built, and the computers have to be wired, and the place has to be set up because it's a brand new agency, right? That means that there will be a job created because it specifically says here's a job. Problem is, Harvard says that when the job's created, it will cost $200,000 per job. In this bill. That's right. Your money, $200,000 each job. For every job it creates, it's spending $200,000. I don't know about you. Let's look at something everyone knows. Walmart. Let's say Walmart's $200,000 to fill a job. In other words, they would hand the person to be hired $200,000. Or they would spend $200,000 on advertising to bring in the job. Every job. Does that seem like a profitable thing to do? Here's the other problem. Timothy Geithner, that's right, sure you know his name, Treasury Secretary, even said that that's all good. That's right. He says it doesn't matter if it costs $200,000 a job. Because he says if we do nothing, there will be fewer Americans back to work and the economy will be weaker. So, wait a minute, what? So, if you spend the $200,000 and get, let's say, you know, 200 jobs. That's right, 200 jobs, $4 million. No, $40 million. That's right, $40 million. So 200 jobs, $40 million later. Nope, $2 million. It's $4 million. I'm correct. 4 million jobs. See, people around me can't add. $4 million, create 200 jobs. And he is saying it's better than doing nothing. In a time in which we don't have enough money, your Treasury Secretary is saying it's better than doing nothing. And he also says he sees signs that things are turning around. Yeah, it's all getting better. What is happening? The massive push to pass this jobs bill is insane. And the massive ability for these people to go on record and say it's all good, it's better than nothing, is amazing to me. And we cannot allow that to happen. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the jobs bill. I spent an hour on the show. What I do want to do is read it. Read it for yourself. Look at what the people who have read it have already said. Okay? Look at the fact it's going to cost, it'll make a job, but it's going to cost $200,000 to make that job. Okay. The jobs bill also, you know, if you follow the money closely, it'll turn into a loop. where some of the things that are funded in this piece of legislation go to people that will simply take the money and put it back into political campaigns. Which means the bill will tax you more so that they can give money to an organization that's going to give them money to get reelected. Isn't that a very strange... I want you to read it yourself. But there are things in this bill that gives money to places that constantly have given large sums of money to people that are trying to be elected. So therefore, money given to the given to a place, that place gives money back to the campaign for re-election, all funded by you. Whether you want that person reelected or not. And I listen to how I put this. I haven't pointed fingers to a soul. Yes, I can go into specifics. Yes, I could be very, very specific. But I'm not. Because I want you to go, what now? Who? Why, how are we doing this? And I want you to go read for yourself. Because if you're listening to my show for the mindless platter about whose nipple came out at Dancing with the Stars, and then comes on and says, my nipple did not come out. If you're worried about that, then you're not going to worry about the jobs bill. You're going to be listening to the inane prattle of how we should pass this thing, and then you're going to go, oh, yeah, we should pass it because they say we should pass it, and if we're going to pass it, we might as well should pass it. We should pass it. Or in the immortal words, Patrick the Starfish. I need to get some Patrick the Starfish words. Actual clips. There's some people I speak to that I look at and I go, you know, it'd be a lot better if you just simply leaned your head back and slobbered. Because you're not paying attention. We have to start paying attention. So I want you to figure out what in this jobs bill. Do it on your own. I'm not spelling this out for you. I refuse. And then I will bring up the jobs bill again when it's time to be voted on. Let me tell you why it's not being voted on now. And let me tell you why it hasn't been voted on yet. Again, when he said we need to pass this bill now, it never even made it to paper for a week. And then it didn't even make it to introduce in the Senate till September 13th, and it didn't introduce in the House till September 21st. That's right, 6 days ago. No co-sponsors. So now all it has to be rated by the by the money, the people that rate it and tell and figure out exactly what it's going to cost. So they can't vote on it yet. They don't have the initial They don't have the initial funding. Money, monetary numbers. But here's the problem. They went on vacation, by the way. The Senate and the House are going on a vacation, so that your jobs bill that must be passed now is not even going to probably be up for another month or so. But we're going to hear that we should pass it now every day. Every day. And did you hear, just to bring up a little, you probably did. My audience is very smart. The ones that stay. The president, in touting the jobs plan, told people to quit complaining, quit whining, quit griping, because he has a lot of work to do. He wants you to kick off your bedroom slippers and put on your marching boots and help him march to pass this jobs bill, to get basically upset about the bill. He forgot to mention step three, which is the step I want to talk about a little bit, since I'm tired of talking about the jobs bill. Step three is after stop complaining and whining and then marching, step three is wait for you to be rich and famous. Or just rich, or just cared for, or what? What are you waiting for if you do this? Does prosperity suddenly befall you? Do all the people on Wall Street complaining of the Wall Street riots right now? Let's say they were victorious, and a guy came out of a big Wall Street building and said, you know what? Here's each and every one of you $100,000. See you later. Every one of those protesters would leave, say thank you very much. It's about time. If they didn't know what to do with the money, what's going to happen? They'll return. Because they'll go, hey, it worked once. But here's the problem with the quit complaining, quit whining, get on your, take off your bedroom slippers and march. Step three, wait on suddenly you to be, you know, prosperous. What happens if that fails? Oh, yeah, let's do the same thing we just did. You must refer back to step one. Do you see the cycle? This cycle has been in place for such a long time. And this is why my third book is vitally important when it comes out, because it's looking at this cycle and breaking it. Quit whining, quit complaining. I agree. Quit whining, quit complaining, get to work. I agree. Kick off your bedroom slippers, put on your marching boots. I agree. If something is upsetting you, you need to march, you need to take care of it. You need to vote for what you like. You need to vote for what's logical. But for those people that are voting simply to remain dependent, for a person to vote to simply continue getting a check for doing nothing, will that person be prosperous by sitting there and continuing to get a check? No. So what happens when that person there, in the same boat that they've been in for the next 5 years, 10 years, suddenly somebody comes up and says, you know what you need to do? You need to quit complaining, quit whining, and get to work. You need to kick off your bedroom slippers and start marching with me. And so they do. They march so that they continue to be dependent on what they just marched for. 5 years down the road, they're not prosperous. They're not rich, they're not famous, or nothing. They turn on their TV, they go, you know what, I'm mad at this. I remember back when I stopped complaining, I got out there and I marched. They turn on the TV, another guy's sitting there saying, you know what you need to do? You need to quit complaining, you need to quit whining, you need to kick off your bedroom slippers, and you need to march with me. And you go, oh, yes, that's what I'm going to do. But you didn't march for anything but, I want to remain exactly the same. We're going to talk about that desire to succeed again in the second half hour. But it's just, I said I wasn't going to talk about this jobs bill this long, but I can't stop. It's just, the jobs bill is a large tax bill. It's new agencies. And I hear you. I hear the media. The guy who says, president, just 2 days ago, stood up and said, please raise my taxes. I don't pay enough. You know what? The IRS will accept any check you send in. The people that are saying raise my taxes. I have a question. This was not going to be the longest segment of the night. It's the reason I did it first. The people who are saying raise my taxes in 5 years, that's right, in 5 or 10 years, when you're in the exact same boat because nothing was changed, government has grown to the same levels that it has been, which means they will run out of money again. They will be borrowing again. I want you to stand up again and say, hello, I'm so happy you raised my taxes. You should probably do it again and get out of this mess. Well, wait a minute, sir. Okay, let's play your game. We raise your taxes again 10 years down the road. So now you have been raised again. Now, you're probably getting old because I don't know what age this person was that stood up, but you're probably getting a little aged. But the kids that are trying to start out suddenly finds out that you have raised their taxes twice because you were prosperous 15 years ago and you were a lackey and didn't think and had absolutely no intelligence whatsoever to stand up and say, I want government to be bigger. Because if something continues to grow without stopping ever, it will consume everything in its path. Therefore, the person saying raise my taxes now is not thinking about anybody else. Because in 15 years, the government's going to come, well, it's not going to be 15 years. I'll tell you, it's going to be 7 years. The government's going to come right back and go, I need to raise your taxes again because guess what? We just can't pay for this stuff. So I need you to stop complaining, stop whining, kick off your bedroom slippers and put on your marching boots. And then you'll have some lackey without any intelligence, has a lot of money, says, you know what? I want you to raise my taxes. But the person starting out, guess what? He suddenly has to go get a job where 50% of his income is taken. I want to ask that guy that stood up and said, raise my taxes, how much do you want anyone to keep? And then how much, when will it stop? Let me ask you this. We have initiatives across the world for the last 50 years of stopping smoking, right? If there's not a person on this earth that doesn't know smoking's bad, which, you know, remember in some cases, but people still have the free will to go into a store because it's a legally sold product to smoke. And I myself am never going to stop someone of that right. But let me ask you this. After smoking was pretty much cessated about to the level, there has been no decrease in smokers, ladies and gentlemen, in a lot of years. A small one, but not a lot. Basically, it's stagnant. The people that we have, about this many people in the world, smoke all the time. You know, like it's like 23% or something. No matter what you throw at them, no matter what you say, no matter what warnings on the side, no matter how many commercials you printed, the number of smokers have been pretty much the same. We've spent hundreds of killions, billions of chillions of dollars to get that message out, but yet, same. Okay? What are they going after now? Oh, yeah, salt. What else are they going after? Oh, all your vitamins. That's right. I talked about that last show. Where the FDA is coming down and telling everyone what they can eat and take. So, going back to what I was talking about with the taxes, let me ask you, do you ever think the Leviathan that it is will ever stop growing? Because I guarantee you that once they got your smoking down, because it's stagnant, they're going to leave it alone. They'll get your salt down. It's going to be stagnant. There's going to be a certain amount of people who still use salt. Right? Then they'll attack, I don't know, cheese. They've attacked hot dogs. They've attacked light bulbs, for goodness sake. They've attacked paint. They've attacked, it doesn't matter what I say next, they've attacked freedom. But Jack, I listened to this show because you talked about parents murdering their children. Why all of a sudden are you sounding like all those other blowhards that we all hate? I'm not attempting to sound like anyone. I'm attempting to get you to grasp the facts and the logic. Remember, we're news than the truth. The news of the Jobs Bill, I couldn't stand anymore, so I had to give you the truth. I then gave you another piece of information that showed you a loop of money without any specifics. You're going to have to go do it yourself. Then I tell you the insane, unintelligent comments wrapped around this jobs bill, okay, that are being touted in the media. And then I ask you when... Let's say in the utopia world, all the people that think the jobs bill needs to be passed, it gets passed. Taxes go up. All the people that wanted their taxes to go up, it goes up. In 5 years or 7 years or 8 years from now, it's going. The same bill is going to come down the line. Another tax raise, another jobs bill, because there's going to be still some unemployment, for goodness sake. It's going to have problems. Everything is going to be another emergency. Cheese is going to be found to be clogging up 8-year-olds' colons for a certain amount of time. And they're going to be very up in arms about that. And so they're going to need to raise your taxes. I'm asking you today to think logically about how that stops. I'm asking you to logically think about how any of this ends. Soon, remember we talked about how OnStar is going to be tracking every car whether you want it to or not. They've now backpedaled and said, no, if you told them not to, they promised they won't. That's right, they backtracked. They heard my story and have since backtracked and said they promised they won't. But what happens when all of that data gets crunched? Do you think that they're not going to see something like 90% of America goes faster than the speed limit? And so they're going to say, you know what, we're going to make car manufacturers come up with something that reads the sign, and your car cannot go any faster than the limit. That's right. Oh, what? What? I want you to think logically, when will it end? When will government say, you know what, we're done? When will government say, you know what, I've got enough money, it's all good? When will the working person be taxed enough so the government says, yeah, go on about your business? If you are one of the people that is simply sitting here going, God's bill needs to be passed, it needs to be passed today, then you're not thinking logically about when does it end. I have went way, way longer. I have to go one more step. I'm not going to finish. Just this week, do y'all know that there was a crisis? A budgetary crisis in which the House had to pass a bill last Friday and then the Senate struck a deal to pass the same bill so that they could appropriate more money? Another government shutdown? Did anyone know this? No. No, you didn't. Ha ha! That's right. That media that you guys are listening to, not you guys, not my audience, the guys, all the people that you look around at yourself, that media didn't say much about that stuff, right? Yeah, there was another government shutdown. You remember just 1 month ago, 2 months ago, there was a looming government shutdown and we didn't pass the budget? There was another one. And it was to fill federal disaster relief accounts. That's right. Your federal disaster relief accounts were low. So they passed a $2.7 billion infusion of disaster money into that place. They were calling that it was going to shut down. Everyone that was working for FEMA and all the other disaster relief agencies were going to be out of a job. Oh, no! Another crisis. Another budgetary crisis. Logically, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm asking you, what started this entire question and answer process was when will it end? If you have children right now, can you look at them and say, you know what, you're not going to have any governmentary budgetary problems because I'm having my taxes raised right now and the government's going to be finished? Are you going to be able to look at your children and say that? Are you going to be able to look at your children and go, you know what, I stopped whining, I stopped complaining, I kicked off my bedroom slippers, which is hilarious that you're sitting in your bedroom slippers all the time, and I put on my marching boots and I went marching so that this family doesn't have to do anything for their money. I need you to think on this. I need thought. I need logical thought from you. And I know this show's supposed to be a lot more fun than this. But every day I'm watching people suffer needlessly. But also every day, I see people working their tail off, like me. Doing a million different things to try to help as many people as I can. And then to squeeze in this show throughout all of that to help bring the truth out as much as I can. It's because when I ask that question, when will it end? I don't see the end other than when there is nothing more to take. And if you have children, can you look at the child and go, you're going to be the first generation to not live better than your parents? Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you want to be the first generation that hands your children worse? But Jack, the Great Depression, what about that? No. They worked their tail through it. America got through it. And yes, I'm confident America will get through this, but I do honestly believe America will only get through this through logical thought and intelligence, not emotion. I believe the emotional things must be thrown to the wayside at this time. It is time for you to think hard. It is time to make the tough decisions. It is time for you to quit whining, complaining, grumbling, and griping. It's time for you to read. It's time for you to pay attention. Go read the Jaws bill and find out that loop of money. And it's time for you to take off your bedroom slippers and put on your marching boots, because I want you to march down and make sure that somewhere, somehow, intelligent design makes it to government, because somewhere, somehow, someone's going to be up there and say, you know what, we just got to quit. Can't always be running out of money. We can't always be having these problems. All right, so the political segment, which was supposed to be 10 minutes of this show, has now went all the way to the wonderful portion. That's from across the pond. Let's take a short break from all this stuff. And listen to Adele Amani. She is absolutely a breath of fresh air. She's helping me help you understand things in this world about how you can succeed. There is a way to bounce back, and there is a way to get your thoughts and your mind right, so that all this can be fixed. I've got a child, and I'm not looking at her saying, Daddy quit. Or Daddy just wasn't paying attention. And now, a wonderful British voice. Well, she's actually from Ireland. Well, she has an accent. She definitely has an accent, And she's going to definitely bring some awesomeness to the show. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Adele Amani's Magnificent Minute.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. Each week I will be bringing you messages with help and advice around becoming a conscious creator. And I also will be here to answer your questions on any area in your life that you find that you have resistance at the moment. So please post your questions through to the Jack Hatfield Show, and I will answer them in the following week. Understand your worth. Then you let go of resistance. You are at your core an energy being that is always resonating in high frequency. When you hold a low belief in yourself, when you doubt your abilities, you cause your physical form to move out of alignment with your energy. This then causes resistance, blocks abundance. Know that you are truly magnificent. You can be, do, and have anything you desire. And this is always the case when people are looking for relationships. One of the questions that I had was, I can't seem to attract the right person to me, the right partner. Every partner I have ends up being exactly what I didn't desire. And what is important here is that people are always searching for the right partner. They're always searching for somebody to come into their lives, when in fact, when you learn to consciously create and you are making your energetic communications, there is no searching. You attract everything to you because of the frequency that you're resonating. And what is happening is that the reason people are attracting the same type of people over and over again is because they haven't really spent time to look at themselves. And what in fact is happening is that they are still resonating out in their frequency the types of people they don't want to be with, because they're thinking on it, they're making themselves upset by what happened before, they're worrying about attracting the wrong type of person into their experience. And this is all still working through their frequency. So it is extremely important. And in my new book, Attracting Your Perfect Partner, I spend a lot of time explaining to people how the very, very foundation of any abundance, whether it be to manifest wealth or success or a partner, has to be where you learn to define who you are, where you really understand who you are, what your passion is, where what your desires are, not other people's, not living to please others, but what your desires are, what your passion is. And when you have that absolutely 100%, then you will understand and be confident in creating your reality. You will then be confident to take control and start to create the life that you desire. And once you are at that point and you can truly say you love yourself, that is the time then to start attracting your partner. Because do not need to attract someone who is going to fill a gap in your life. You have the ability to be, do, and have everything you desire. A partner should be there complimenting you on your energy. They should be coming from the same frequency that you do. So it is really important that you focus on attracting the qualities in that person that resonate with you, attracting the same energy in a person that is going to be the same energy vibration as you. And then you will attract people who are there and they're supportive. They come from unconditional love. They are there to walk with you, not in front of you, not behind you, but with you. But it all must start with you understanding who you are, and most of all, loving the person you are.
I said 90 things while I was right after that, but we didn't hear them because we didn't have stuff turned on. Anyway, see what I mean? Adele Amani, follow her on Twitter. That's right, Adele Amani, and that is spelled Edelmahony. Follow her on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. That's how you keep up with all the inane stuff that I read and see and then have to comment and give you the truth. Just before we go into the second hour, we got 3 seconds left. Do you really think that there is a reason now? You understand that the Hallmark greeting card company has just recreated a line of sympathy cards that target people who recently lost their jobs. Now, I'm not saying the company's not doing the right thing, because with the unemployment rate steady at where it is, the company thought that's an untapped audience. That's smart for the company. But you're the generation that had be set, that got it into such problems that a greeting card company has to come up with ways for you to go tell someone, sorry you lost your job, you must have sucked at it. But Jack, that's kind of harsh. Not everyone who lost their job sucked. That is because the company didn't have any money. Yes, some of these cards are pretty bad. Let me tell you, it's one of them is when things are looking kind of gloomy, do as I do, stare into the heavens, breathe deeply, and say, give me a break. Or another card that says, don't worry, you'll get through this, look at me. And then inside it says, okay, maybe don't. Hold on while I think of somebody else. Now, the cards came in request from consumers. It's an ominous sign, ladies and gentlemen. When a card company sees an untapped audience of people losing their jobs. Second hour coming up.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
What I've done. one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try.
Takes one to know one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Company stopped posting his job openings in job centers across the country, government filled job centers or job runs. This is in England now. Same thing here. Because the youngsters sent to fill his vacancy spent more time playing with their phones than serving customers. He was fed up with bored teenagers coming in late, hungover, and more interested in Facebook than doing their work. The quality of candidates he received was so low, he relied on a sandwich board outside his shop to advertise posts from then on. He said he's had youngsters sent here from the job center, and most aren't interested in working at all. They actually want the form signed to show that they came for the interview. And that's it. When you have people that are unemployed and come and just simply want to show the government that they sort of went for an interview so that they continue to reap the benefits, what's that going to do for you and them and anyone? And then when he has employed those people, they've generally been unsuited for the world of work. They turn up late, half asleep, hangover, spend half their time checking their mobile phones. If they break a rule and you try to discipline them or help them, they throw it back in your face. What is this telling us about the generation coming up, ladies and gentlemen? And what does it tell us now that you're going to buy a new car every year? Oh, that's right. If you want health insurance, for the first time in history, it now costs over $15,000 a year, more than the cheapest new car. So for your health insurance, you get to buy a new car every year. That's how expensive it has become. It has jumped 9% in 1 year. That's horrendous. In our Go Grandma Go segment, I really need to find some music for the Go Grandma Go song. I mean segment. Florida's oldest murder suspect has now been taken into custody after she shot her nephew dead. 96-year-old Amanda Rice Stevenson is going to be charged with murder of her 53-year-old nephew. The 357 Magnum was found at the scene of the shooting. The 96-year-old retired postal worker involved in a long-running dispute with her nephew. Police has actually been called to the house several times in the past month. Rice was found dead by his wife after she returned to the house on Sunday evening. She initially thought her husband suffered a heart attack when she saw him lying on the floor, but she reached her hand through the part, opened the door, touched her husband. Body was cold. Rice was dead inside. His aunt was in the back bedroom. And she has not said a reason as to why she killed him. But she smiles in her arrest picture. Maybe she just was happy to get her picture taken. I don't know. 96-year-old woman killing her 53-year-old nephew. That's tough. That's tough. In case you didn't know, in Philadelphia, thousands of Philadelphia residents gathered in long lines citywide outside 12 county assistance offices for food stamps. That's one city. Many state offices had lines stretching for blocks. Blocks. In our goodness, is that weird or is it kind of a neat segment? A 40-year-old woman has gone public because she had a, let's say, surgery that didn't go according to plan. This lady, so excited by seeing all the stars on all the star shows and hearing all the media about how awesome their lives are, she went to get her breasts enhanced and her eyelids and face assisted in some manner. But she went to an unqualified plastic surgeon. I don't know what that means, but the American Board of Plastic Surgery is saying what that means is this surgeon doesn't pay us fees to be ABPS certified. ABPS says just because they have a white coat doesn't mean they're qualified to perform plastic surgery. So it's Rodriguez, the lady who is now saying, don't go to these surgeons, was left with a uniboob. The surgeon had cut across two separate pockets that normally hold the breast tissue, which meant the implants were then able to touch in the middle. So her breasts were, had cleavage. Okay? But afterwards, the two implants, the pockets that were separating the two boobs, pushed them together, so she now has one uniboob thing with a little dimple in the middle. And she can't close her eyes. The surgery that he did on her eyes to make them prettier also made them impossible to close. The ABPS, American Board of Plastic Surgery, ABPS, said that there is no amount of surgery they can do on her eyes to make them close. He has botched it so much. Now, her breasts They were fixed. So the uniboob has been separated. The twins were successfully separated in a late night operation. It went well into the evening by, of course, an ABPS qualified surgeon. We're so happy now the twins can live a normal life where each one can get their own undivided attention. Oh, my goodness. That was my clean joke. Undivided attention. Oh, my. She has to constantly put drops in her eyes. And that's pretty bad. You have to constantly put drops in her eyes. Cause she laughing will make you need to breathe. She has to constantly put drops in her eyes because, you know, they'll dry out. So that's pretty bad. So we're glad that the twins are okay. But the eyeball thing, that's going to be tough. That's got to be tough. Oh, I'm actually tearing up. I actually teared up on that one. That one was funny. Very, very, very funny. Oh, the University of New Hampshire. We talked about this. They said, you know what? We're not selling any more energy drinks because apparently, you know, free thought and intelligence doesn't go together. So they banned them. But then the problem is Monday, last night, they said, no, we were kidding. Because the school said it's going to delay the ban, citing conflicting evidence about the health effects of consuming the beverages, comma, as well as student reactions. Not everybody likes the taste of coffee. Back in the day, coffee and Coke were your pick-me-ups. Huddleston, the University of New Hampshire president, said, in this case, I'm personally aware of conflicting reports about caffeine and sugar content of some of these beverages, and I want to be sure we respect our students' ability to make informed choices about what they consume. I have asked my colleagues to defer implementation of the intended ban until we can further explore the relevant facts and involve students more directly in our decision. It's very weird how Mr. Huddleston, as we went along, sounded more and more like President Taft or somebody. I want to know more about why students drink energy drinks. Hello, Mr. Huddleston. Can we talk to you for a minute? They do it because it gives them energy. I'm just thinking. Remember, this was the first college in the country to do its part on its commitment to health. That's right. Where does it stop? Oh, wait. Let's don't go back to that. The school said drinks are full of caffeine and sugar and open to abuse by students. Wait, so why don't you remove the caffeine, sugar, and sell them water? Isn't that open to abuse by students? The school said the drinks are full of caffeine and sugar, open to abuse by students who may drink too much of it or mix it with alcohol with bad consequences. University of New Hampshire also noted a student had to be hospitalized. Oh, see, it's about the children. Hospitalized earlier this school year after drinking too much energy drink, though in that case, alcohol was not involved. These products, while legal and safe when consumed, is intended and proven unsafe when overused and mixed with alcohol. Hasn't everything been proven unsafe when overused or mixed with alcohol? Everything? I'm talking about everything. Like if you overuse a gun, that's unsafe. And if you mix it with alcohol, that's probably more unsafe. How about a knife? Anyone? How about wings? How about hot wings? How about those extremely hot wings? If you overuse extremely hot wings, that will be unsafe. But if you mix it with alcohol, you probably think you can eat more of those than you probably should. And that's probably immensely unsafe for both you, your area later, and the people around that area. Isn't ugly people, when overused, isn't that bad? Isn't that unsafe? And then when you mix it with alcohol, wait, that's a t-shirt. I can hear it now. I get an email. Jack, you have ugly people or people too? Hell, I know. Look at me. That's why I get to talk about you. So anyway, University of New Hampshire students, tonight, consume energy drinks to study. That's right. You get to stay. You'll get to have your energy drinks tonight so that you can study. I know that's exactly what you're doing. So that's very good. That's very good. Men, ladies, high blood pressure. Guess what? They found people of both sexes with high blood pressure facing a 4 to 8% increased risk of dying from cancer. But men, 10 to 20%. Can I guess maybe that if you tie it all together, the high blood pressure is caused by something you're doing pretty bad, which could also be responsible, that unhealthy portion of your lifestyle could be responsible for triggering the cancer? Could that be the case? Because this study wasn't a real study. All they did was found out that they went and looked at 600,000 people with high blood pressure and found out 10 to 20% of them more have more cancer than a random 600,000 people. And in fact, after their research, it doesn't clear why they're leaking a link leak. As blood pressure rose in men, the study found so did their risk of developing oral, bowel, lung, bladder, and kidney cancers, as well as melanoma and non-melanoma skin cancers. In women, there's the highest incidence of cancers of the liver, pancreas, cervix, womb, and melanoma, but increased blood pressure was not significantly associated with the overall risk of developing any cancer, any particular cancer. You understand what they just said? Ladies with high blood pressure get all these cancers, but no more than any other lady. Is this a study? Is this real? Remember, news and the truth. The headline is, blood pressure will kill you. It'll give you cancer, right? That's basically the headline. When you read into the facts, basically what they found was, maybe if you were doing some bad stuff, it might link to some other bad stuff. But they found no positive link at all anywhere in the study. In fact, at the end of this study, just so you know, and because most of you never read, not this audience, excuse me, the people you know that don't listen to this show, never read inside the studies where the deep stuff happens. It actually says in the study, further studies are needed to confirm these findings and then to investigate exactly how higher blood pressure might affect cancer development. But of course, they say making positive lifestyle changes is one way to reduce the risk of both cancer and high blood pressure, physically fit, cutting down on alcohol, eating a healthy, balanced diet, la, 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 la. We all know this. But if you can find another link, you get to have another crisis. But they didn't find a link. They just sort of found a link. But they didn't find a total link. They're just saying. And that's funny. Scientists get up there. I can just see this now. In the white lab coat, stand up in the hoity-toity room. All the other scientists out there in the room. We think high blood pressure is linked to cancer. However, it's no different than if we said we think having skin is linked to skin cancer. If you had no skin, your rate of getting skin cancer would be significantly reduced. Oh, my. Crisis. I've already went through your things you need to do to stay cancer free. We do it all the time on this show. Is it possible that because of this kind of articles and these kind of things, tomorrow anyone with moderate high blood pressure is going to suddenly go get some health care? The problem is one of the docs or a lot of primary care physicians in a new poll said there's too much health care. What? Right, there's too much health care. Because there's too many people going in for too many symptoms. And because doctors are scared of getting it wrong, they could order more tests or prescribe more drugs or diagnose people with diseases, although they would never experience any symptoms, because a lot of doctors are actually said, a quarter of primary care physicians actually say they are practicing more aggressively than they'd like to. Do you think it's possible that the media could be pumping up all of your worries about your body? Like the one I just did, the study that studied nothing? That's right. Let's go through this little tale. It's not only your wallet that can end up hurting from excessive testing. In a short article published along with this poll, a doctor recounted the story of a man who developed intractable pain after falling on an icy driveway. He had several tests at the hospital. All of them came up empty. Okay? All along, the man's wife had been telling doctors that her husband had a morphine pump in his back to treat chronic pain, and that he'd fallen onto the pump, but no one listened. I was beating my head against the wall, she said. Right? Nobody listened. The doctors aren't listening to their patients. Have you ever noticed that? When you go to the doctor and you sit down, the doctor comes in, so what's your problem? And he's reading while you talk. And then he goes, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you need a prescription for high blood pressure. And you probably have diabetes. And you need to take this other pill. All right? So, and after you take all this for about a month, come back and see me. How many people have had that experience in a doctor's office? I know I've witnessed one. They can't do it to me. When I go in the doctor's office, I go, mm-mm. I want you to grasp what I'm saying. And then when you say something that I don't believe or that I've already said, no, to be not factual, I go, no. And also with all this excessive testing, the doctors say that they actually find things and conditions that would have never caused the patient a problem in the first place. But because the doctor said, here's what I found, the patient goes crazy. And because once they tell the patient what they found, the patient wants the doctors to proceed with treatment. So, too much. Too much healthcare? Let me ask you this. If the doctors, primary care physicians would order fewer tests, if those tests didn't provide extra income, you think? That's right. When a physician orders a test and sends you to a hospital, the doctor makes money on the sale of that test. Did you know that? Did you know that? What? What? Those arcane tests, the 50 tests that I went through for my doctor to look at me and go, you know what, I found nothing? Did he make money on those tests? What? Did you know that? Did I just blow the lid off something there? In a bad day for a family segment, in the case of worrying about your health, I'm not saying this person could have prevented this in any manner, but I want you to grasp this, and it's, you know, it's fear of mine at any given time to have something like this happen in any way, shape, or form for any family. But a father and a 3-year-old son was found dead yesterday after the father died of a heart attack and fell on top of the child because he was holding him. And the child obviously got smothered to death. That is stunning. Remember we spoke about the babysitter who was overweight and died and smothered the child. It was when she slumped over, the child got smothered. So that's just massively, massively heartbreaking. So I don't only do and talk to you about health for yourself. I do it for your whole family. Because that's a horrendous thing. That is two people in the last 2 weeks that have come home with two people dead, one of them being an infant smothered by the death of the elder. That's two in 2 weeks. Massive. Now, do you believe this in our parenting segment? And then we're going to get to our big segment of success. Do you believe 95% of all parents that have more than one child have a favorite? And the other 5% are lying, according to this author. That's right. This author says 95% of all parents who have multiple children pick a favorite, and the other 5% are lying. And he also says that he is the exception, along with his wife, because he has two daughters. Does this sound like he wants you to buy his book? I'm not even going to tell you the title or the author. But I think it's hilarious. He said that he asked, most families are aware of who the favorite child is. Few mothers and fathers would dream and mitigate. There's some of the value in the parents' code, never speak of it. He admits from his own childhood, his parents' favorites were clear. That among four siblings, he, the second child, and the eldest son was his father's favorite, while his brother, the third child, and youngest son was his mother's favorite. So this guy comes from a home where he easily knew which parent liked you best, and then decides to write a book of it, saying every parent has a favorite. Do you believe this could be true? Is it natural for parents to search for what they like in children, in their offspring? It doesn't seem far-fetched to me. I have a favorite. Yes, I only have one at the moment, but I have a dog, too. So, you know. I'm going to get a letter on that one. Okay. But understand his book is about the bonds among brothers and sisters and how that helps or hurts people in their lifetime. And just this was the one piece out of that book that is getting the most play. Ah. Now, a big popular segment of this show is What is Your Libation? Tonight is a grand Cabernet Sauvignon. But what you order on a date for you single people, what you order on a date tells you a lot about yourself, whether or not or one that you're conscious of. That's right. This list below that I'm about to tell you is full of generalizations, but there's some truth to every stereotype, is there not? Right? Martini. If you're a guy, you're trying to impress, and it's probably working. If you're a girl drinking a dirty martini, you're a hot mess. The dirtier, the messier, the hotter. Vodka on the rocks, you're too self-conscious to actually order a martini. White Russian, you are obsessed with the Big Lebowski and probably the Daily Show, or you just like to drink dessert. Bud Light, you're easygoing, laid back, and at home in a sports bar. If you're a girl, you know how to hang with the guys. Is that the duh statement of the day? If you order a Stella Artois. Stella Artois, you have no particular knowledge or affinity towards beer, so you just order Stella because it's familiar. That's another way of saying pansy. By the way. Lillet, Campari, Aperol. You're a big show-off and possibly like to throw around words like mixology. Vodka cranberry. When in doubt, you stick to what you drank in college. Prosecco. How many people right now don't even know what that is? What? I'm just saying. I bet you they don't. But anyway, if you order a Prosecco, you're often a little uptight, but tonight you're looking to party. So men, there you go. Ladies, if your man orders a Prosecco, you better get ready. Whiskey, neat. You're hot, regardless of gender. Sorry about it, live listeners. We had a small glitch. Recording listeners, you have no idea. So, there. What were we talking about, recorded listeners? Oh, yeah. The drinks. Like I was saying, if you were on a date last night or this weekend and the person that you were on a date with said, you want some Jaeger shots? They're basically saying, you know what, I'm done. Vodka gimlet. You're a huge dork, but you hope sort of in a cool way. Appletini. You've left the kids with the sister and you're ready to have some fun. Oh yeah. I'll have an appletini. Pim's cup. How many people don't know what that is? You're an Anglophile. How many people don't know what that is? I got to look that up. Anglophile. Anglophile is a person fond of English culture or more broadly British culture. You are a hoity-toity. That's what you are. By ordering your Pimm's cup. An old-fashioned. You, Mad Men is your favorite show. You either want to be or sleep with Don Draper. I have to look that up. I drink Old Fashions and I watched Mad Men once, but I still don't know who Don Draper is. But I did like what I watched of the show. It just wasn't worth watching twice. Margarita on the rocks. I've decided to have a good time tonight, baby. Margarita frozen. You're in Cabo. PBR. You're drinking quickly on your way to a nonprofit fundraiser, followed by a poetry reading in a former industrial warehouse. That's another way to say hippie. Loser hippie at that. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Tequila shots. Order tequila shots. You're either getting laid or just getting through it. Similar to Jaeger, is it not? Long Island iced tea. I have a drinking problem. I mean, that's what it means when you order that. I'm not actually admitting that on the air. A beer. While at a cocktail bar. If you order a beer while you're at a cocktail bar, you are overprotective of your manhood or unadventurous. A cocktail while at a dive bar, you are insufferable. So, now you know what you need to order on your date tomorrow night. See, we help people here. Let's just get down to the nitty of the gritty. We help people here. Let me help you real quick, since the world texts now. Most people don't even know how to talk. Okay, I'm gonna give you the four ways to start a conversation, the four steps, all right? Use inviting body language, okay? Don't stand there, arms closed, or on the phone, chewing gum. That's not going to give any visual indication that you're a friendly, inviting person. Step two, open with an open-ended question. What was the best part of your weekend? Beats, did you have a good weekend? Did you have a good weekend? Can be answered with, yep. Tell me about your wife and family. Beats, are you married? Reward, number three, reword their answer into a new question. So when you say, tell me about your wife and family, and let me tell you about a little bit, do another, reword one of their answers into a new question. That takes practice, that part. And then number four, pass on control of the conversation. Allow them to talk. The greatest conversationalists listen more. I had to do that. There's a lot of texters out there who don't know how to talk anymore. So I didn't want to let that go. Let me read this to you. These are the regrets of the dying. This lady saw a lot of people die. All of her patients were patients that went home to die. And she was with them from the last 3 to 12 weeks of their lives. And she had some incredibly special moments. So she asked them, you know, what do you regret? The cool thing about each experience, a variety of emotions as expected, denial, fear, anger, remorse, more denial, and eventually acceptance. Every single patient found their peace before they departed, though, every one of them. When questioned about any regrets they had, they would common themes surfaced again and again, and here are the most common five. And I want you to think about this. Go back a little bit to, you know, rewind this show after it's over. Listen to the first part again and tell me, start thinking logically and making the tough decisions. Is not something you're going to regret on your deathbed. No one is going to sit there on their deathbed and say, I'm so glad I was stupid. Or I'm so glad I didn't think. Or I'm so glad I never took the time to listen to what was happening around me, to my country, to my children, to my future. So here they are, the most common five. Number one, I wish I'd had the courage to live a true life to myself, not the life others expected of me. The most common regret of all, when people realize their life is almost over and look back clearly on it for the first time, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people have not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to the choices they had made or not made. That's something I tell people all the time when they go, you know, blah, 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 husband sucks, blah, 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 my home life, blah, blah, blah. And I go, change it. And they go, well, no, that'd be hard. How many? I meet people all the time. My job sucks. Blah, blah, blah. Boss sucks. Blah, blah, blah. I don't get making enough money. Change it. Oh, no. Oh, that'd be hard. It's very important that you try to get some of your dreams along the way, ladies and gentlemen, because the moment you lose your health, it's too late. Health brings a freedom that you won't realize was a freedom until it's gone. A lot of people look at us as the way we're raising our child by saying, well, don't you want her out there and you know, stuff like that. And I go, well, you know what? She hasn't been sick but once since she was born premature enough to go back to the hospital one time. And you know how she got that way? You know how she got sick? It was because she went to the doctor's office. Weird, huh? Sick people at a doctor's office, and she got sick. She went well. She went to the doctor's office well, caught something in the doctor's office, had to go to the hospital, and caught something else in the hospital to have to stay longer. Cold every now and then that she gets over relatively, massively quickly. But how many, you know, how many children that we know, or how many premature children that we know where the mom and dad are constantly in and out of the hospital and doctor's office? And their life is in turmoil at all times, whereas ours is a relatively calm, wonderful thing. Health brings a freedom. You get to do bunches of stuff. Every day, we get to look at each other and go, what do you want to do today? Instead of, oh my God, we got to go to the hospital. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. This was the regret that came from every male patient this woman saw. I myself work harder to strike the balance of not working so hard. And people look at me and go, what do you mean? You mean you do that? Every day you try to find a way to do something more exciting when you get home? Yeah, I actually work harder to balance working hard. All of the men deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. As a result, they settled for a mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Actually, many developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. I can believe that with everything that I am. Your brain is a very, very powerful item. And if every day you find yourself having the same thought where you, I wish, without trying to fulfill your dream, the I wishes start to pile up, and then eventually health and freedom goes with it. Now, we cannot control the reactions of others. However, although people may initially react when you change the way you are speaking, you are by speaking honestly, in the end, it raised the relationship to a whole new and healthier level. Do you guys know that 99.9% of the people who meet me for the first time cannot stand me? They actually abhor me in all manners because I speak honestly. But the people that make it through that little uncomfortableness of going, oh my, that was very true. I didn't want to talk about that. Those people and our relationships are on a whole new and healthier level. And I've opened up more than I ever have before. I will now tell you the honest truth right off the bat. Either that, or it releases an unhealthy relationship from you. Win. Do you understand? Number four, I wish I'd have stayed in touch with my friends. It is common for anyone in a busy lifestyle to let friendships slip, but when you're faced with approaching death, physical details of life fall away. All that remains in the final weeks is love and relationships. And yes, they probably look back and say, I miss all these friendships, but look at the ones you have now. Look at your family now. Number five, the surprisingly common regret is I wish I had let myself be happier. Do you know how many people don't realize happiness is a choice? Waking up and excited about waking up is a choice. Being happy about what you're feasting upon is a choice. Being happy about what you have around you is a choice. Many people stay stuck in your old patterns and habits because of the comfort of familiarity overflows your emotions as well as your physical life. Fear of change makes you think you were content when in all reality you were not. So let myself be happier actually turns it back to, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Life is a choice, ladies and gentlemen. It's your life. Become intelligent. Choose consciously. Choose wisely. Choose honesty. Choose happiness. Thank you for listening to the Jack Hatfield Show. I do so hope to see you back here next week. Or whenever you listen to these shows, the next time you listen to the shows. Thanks for listening. Have a libation on me.